So this is week two of Walls, the process of rebuilding. Let's recap week one if you weren't here last week, or maybe if you don't remember what was spoken about last week, I'm going to recap it. So week one, we talked about repentance for destruction. Talked about last week how sin breaks walls. Sin oftentimes destroys the walls that God has built. We read in Nehemiah that when the walls broke down, Nehemiah had a revelation that I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness for my people because we have been sinning in the inner walls. And so Nehemiah went to repent to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness so that the walls can be made whole again. Because they had a huge attack on the wall of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah had to make a very crucial decision because he was the main guy of the land. So he had to make a decision of like, okay, what can stop these walls from being destroyed? Our sin. We need to ask for forgiveness from the Lord. Because repentance, turning away from sin, causes our lives to be rebuilt. Walls don't just mean, obviously, physical walls. It could mean your life being rebuilt because of the sin in your life. So learn to, last week I mentioned this, to repent from your sin, to turn away from this thing you call a sinful lifestyle. So for week two, the title of tonight, so last week we talked about learning how to repent. Tonight, we're going to learn how to rebuild that wall. Tonight, title's called Rebuild the Walls. And the question is that how do you rebuild something like that? How do you rebuild a wall that has been completely broken? Has anybody, I almost wanted to do this tonight, but I didn't have the time to actually go pick up an actual vase. But I was going to literally illustrate a vase. And I was going to drop it on the ground and let it shatter. And I was going to ask one of you guys to do a illustration of trying to come put the pieces back together. But that would have been a huge mess, and I didn't want anybody to cut their fingers. So we're not going to do that. But the funny thing about if you see something like glass or like a plate or a vase being broken on the ground, it's extremely impossible to put it back together because of how shattered it is. And we're not just talking about a Nehemiah, about a vase. We're talking about a wall that was completely destroyed because of the consequences of these people's sins. The sins that were happening inside the wall came out to light because these were some of God's chosen people. It's very, very hard to put something back together that has been broken. Many of us give up so quickly because it feels impossible to restore what has been broken in our own lives. Some of you can relate to that, to know that some of us feel like what has been broken in us or broken in our lives can never be rebuilt or can never be restored. The funny thing is that all of us have believed that lie at some point, at some time. Some of us are believing it right now, where something in us is so broken and so shattered that it cannot be restored. It cannot be built back together, whether because of our habitual sin, the continuous of sin, the continuing of it, or things that have happened in our lives from some situation or someone that has caused brokenness in our lives. Tonight, I want to encourage you that and remind you that our God is in the process of restoration. God is a God of restoration. God does not come into your life and allow you to stay the way that you are. He is willing to walk into your life and restore everything, but the only cost is to follow him. The only cost of restoration in your life is to follow Jesus. What does that mean? That means you have to die to your flesh. You have to carry your cross and you have to follow him. That's the cost of restoration in your life, is to follow Jesus, because he promises that. And I want to encourage you and remind you that he is in the process of restoration, and it's available for anyone tonight. The question is that how can we begin to rebuild what has been broken? What steps can we take in moving into the right direction? So tonight, I want to talk about how the biggest key of rebuilding this wall, the one big key that I think can start to make this into an action, is obedience. Obedience. Bless you. Obedience. The funny thing about obedience is that a lot of times obedience can be very easy. Obedience is sometimes a very easy decision to make part of the circumstance. Whatever the circumstance is, if it's an easier circumstance, it's easy to obey. But the more you mature in your relationship with Jesus, the more you mature in your relationship with him, the more that you go deeper with him in his word, spending time with him, you learn throughout scripture that the obedience gets harder the more you go deeper with him. And the reason why I say that is because some things that we have to do that is the right thing, we don't want to do it. Or we don't like it. Or it's something that is causing some discomfort, not anxiety, because obedience, there should never come anxiety from obedience. But being uncomfortable obeying something that's supposed to be right can cause a lot of discomfort and being uncomfortable. But the beauty of who God is that he is our refuge. Psalm 141 verse 8 says, I look to you for help, O sovereign Lord. You are my refuge. Don't let them kill me. Sin can break us down and destroy us. But God is a strong refuge that cannot be destroyed. When we live in obedience to God, he fortifies us because he is our ultimate defense. See, the Bible also talks about in Psalm 91 to humble yourself under the Almighty, under the mighty hand of God. What does that require? Obedience. What do you mean? You got to be humble about it. You got to lower yourself so that God can cover you. That is the craziest thing some people, even society, sees that as a weird thing. Because a lot of the times, if you want to feel protection, sometimes you got to build a defense, put stuff up together and get yourself protected. For you to see God work in your life, you have to lower yourself. Lowering yourself takes a lot of humility. And the one thing that can get in the way is pride. Having an ego mindset can take away God's covering. But when we live in obedience, he can fortify us. He can create a fortress. Let's jump back into Nehemiah chapter 2. This is the aftermath of the wall being destroyed and Nehemiah asking the Lord for forgiveness for their sins. But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God, remember, under the hand of God, has been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, yes, let's rebuild the wall. So they began the good work. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, and Arab heard of our plan, they scoffed. What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king? They asked. Verse 20, I replied, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall, but you have no share, legal right, or historic claim to Jerusalem. Let's jump back to verse 18. Actually, verse 17. Jump all the way down to where it says it was destroyed by fire. He said, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Nehemiah was motivated to the fact that he didn't want the walls to stay broken. He was at a point for his people to rebuild this wall for the city of Jerusalem. The funny thing is that Nehemiah didn't just repent. He didn't just feel remorse. See, repentance is not, oh God, I'm so sorry, and feeling the remorse, but then the next day going, do it again. That is not repentance, that's remorse. You feel bad. You feel horrible about it. And that's a good thing because the reason why you feel horrible, not because of guilt, but because of conviction, because you don't like what God doesn't like. Why? Because that's the influence of the Holy Spirit in you. The things that God doesn't like, you do not like. But the funny thing is that when we go back and do the same thing, how can that be a repentive heart? How can that be repentance in your life if you remorse towards the Lord and then continue to do it again? Not that you're perfect. Not that you have it all together. But the fact of the matter is that repentance is not a one-time thing that you're just like, all right, I am forgiven. Now I can go on with my life and do whatever I want. The funny thing is about sin and repentance and all of this, this takes change. This takes an internal thing in you to go, I'm going to rebuild this wall. I'm going to get my, not just get my life together, but I'm going to allow the Lord to change me. I'm going to allow the Lord to knock sin out of my life. I'm going to allow God to work on the pieces of me that are causing destruction in my life. I'm going to allow God to build this wall, and we're going to do it. The funny thing about repentance and sin is this. Some of us maybe believe, or you maybe you've heard someone say, I got to get my life together before I get in a relationship with Jesus. I've sinned. I've sinned against him. I think I lost my salvation. People have actually thought that, which is so funny. Because the fact of the matter is that your relationship with God is like a relationship with a significant other, like in marriage. So let me give you an example. If a husband lashes out at his wife and she's hurt by it, and he recognizes and acknowledges that he hurt her with his anger, and he asks for forgiveness and says, sorry, my baby, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to lash out at you like that. And she forgives him. The marriage doesn't end. You still have the ring on the finger. You still have a covenant to live out. You still have to walk through it. And maybe he does it again, maybe a third time, a fourth time. And it's just, he's asking for the forgiveness, but he's trying to get back into it. He's trying to make himself right. But the funny thing is that why would a marriage end from one mistake? Why would a relationship end from one sin? It's the same thing with God. You don't lose your salvation from one sin. You don't lose your relationship with God from one sin. But sin does separate you from God. And the point of the challenge of what you have to do when you sin is you have to now turn back to him, acknowledge that you have sinned towards him, because what he's waiting on is for you to come back to him. When we sin, God's desire is for us to walk back into relationship with him. Because oftentimes when we feel shame, shame keeps us from God. Guilt keeps us from God. Sin keeps us from God. So we cannot say God left us when we sin. I said this last week. Oftentimes it's us taking the 10 steps back. God will take one step, but we take 10. Why? Because of the shame and the guilt we might be feeling. But God's not causing that. God's not causing shame and guilt in your life. So repentance and sin go hand in hand. And like I said, it doesn't end your relationship with God. But what it does is that it does bring certain destructions in your life. That's why sin is not to be played with. That's why Nehemiah didn't just repent. He rebuilt the wall right after asking God to forgive us of our sin. Have you ever had a moment in your life where it was a pivotal moment and you were like, this has to change. Like, I'm sick of this. Like, you almost had a sick of this moment where you were like, this needs to change. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm a non-motivated person. Like, I need a lot of hype to do something, okay? Like, I need music. I need hype music. I need something to do the dishes, right? I need something to hype me up in order to do something. Because I don't want to do that. Who want to do that, right? I am a non-motivated person. But there was a moment in my life, and I knew it was the Lord, because if it was in my own strength, I would never do it. But there was a non-motivational moment in my life where I was struggling with this sin. And God installed something in me in that moment that caused my motivation to come around, even if nothing was motivating me. I don't know if you've ever had that in your life, but to have that spark moment of like, this needs to change, this needs to happen, I'm sick and tired of this, let's go. That is God installing something in you to push forward, because you can't wait on a feeling of motivation to change. You cannot wait till the sky cracks for you to change. The funny thing is that the reason why you can't wait for the sky to crack, because you don't know the day or the hour that the Lord will come back. You don't know. We don't know. So we have to be on guard and make sure that that wall is stayed. and it stays in its place. Rebuilding that wall takes obedience, repentance. It takes the action. Obedience is an action. It's not just a word. See, somebody can say, I love you, but until they show the affection of I love you, it's not genuine. It's not real. It's not real. And a lot of times, and this is, look, I love my words of affirmation, people. But all, if y'all only say I love you and don't show it, what's you doing? What's going on? You have to show what you mean. It's the same thing with obedience. You can't say, oh God, I want to obey you. I'm going to obey you. But the action isn't put into place. You have to create it. It has to become a practice. Not just a quote. Not just a word that comes out of your mouth. It has to be a legit action. You have to put it into motion. God has given you the opportunity. Now it's your job to be obedient. Let's rebuild that wall. Let's rebuild our lives through the Lord. Let God work on you. Don't buy into the lie that sin has damaged you beyond repair. Like I talked about with the wall shattering. Feeling like you're so broken that it's impossible for God to repair you. The fact of the matter is that how can God not repair you, but repair so many people and they have come to know him deeply? I'm telling you right now, the testimonies I have heard of people who have been so broken, probably just as broken as some of us or even worse than some of us, and God restored their life. It can happen for you. You cannot give into the lie thinking that this sin in your life is going to just crumble you. Your mind might be telling you it's unbeatable. I can't beat this. I can't win. I have no victory. A child of God doesn't talk like that. A believer who has Christ in them doesn't talk like that. So if you have Christ in you, ask yourself, why am I talking this way? It ultimately, when we use that, because here's what's funny. Lies often are limitations to freedom. Lies actually stop you from progressing forward. A lot of the times, here's what's funny. Lies can put you backwards, and sometimes lies can put you too far ahead where the Lord wants you. Lies oftentimes take you out of the track of what the Lord is racing. And you have to learn to stay on track with him and not believe the lie that sin has damaged you beyond repair. If sin damaged you beyond repair, Christ died for nothing. If you are so far beyond repair, Christ suffered a horrible death for nothing. That's why the cross is so powerful, because I've seen people so broken and so dysfunctioned and so broken apart that Christ came to redeem them and restore them. And I saw it with my own eyes. That's the cross. That horrifying death Jesus did and died was the propel for people's restoration. Christ died so that we could be repaired. The way we begin to rebuild is to start doing the right thing. Nehemiah obeyed God and began putting one brick on top of another. Start living in obedience. Y'all are too loud back in the sound booth. Thank you. The bottom line is that rebuild your walls with obedience. James 4:17 says, and this is powerful. Listen to this scripture, okay? This is just as powerful as doing something wrong. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do, then not do it. It is a sin to not do the right thing. Not doing what you're supposed to do is just as bad as what you're not supposed to be doing. I'm sorry, I think I said that wrong. What you not doing the right thing is just as bad as doing the wrong thing. You making you committing the sin is just as bad as not obeying what God had told you to do. See, their sins were obviously significant. The stuff they were doing that they weren't supposed to be doing was significant. But the funny thing is that if Nehemiah wouldn't have rebuilt that wall and allowed the Lord to rebuild their lives, that would have just been as great of a sin. You have a responsibility to do the right thing. In fact, if you do not do what's right and refuse to do it, that is sin. Many of us know the right thing to do, but we struggle to do it. Scripture is clear that our obedience is the key to rebuilding. It's time to start doing the right thing again. Ask God for clarity on what He wants you to do. He will make it clear and show you the right thing to do. All that's left is for you to do what He asks in obedience. Like I said, obedience is not easy. It's way deeper than the phrase, love your enemies. It's deeper than just the phrase, oh, love your enemies. That's a cool quote. Okay, He's telling you that you have to love someone that either you don't like or hurt you. That is loving your enemies. You understand? You loving your enemies means that you have to forgive those who have wronged you. That's obedience. I don't like doing that. If we can keep it a buck in this room, I don't like doing that. Why? Because people are cruel. People are not perfect. People are messed up. Some people don't give a rip about people. Some people do very dysfunctional things. And it bothers the heck out of me. Because I love people. I want to see people grow. I want to see a community flourish. I want to see people restored. But the people who don't want to see that, I don't like those people. Because they don't want to see development in people's lives. Negative Nancys. All that stuff. But God calls me to love those people. If I only love the people that I like, that's my reward. Jesus said, if you only care and love for the people that you're close with, that's your reward. He said, even the Pharisees do that. They love people close to them. But He said to love your enemies. There's a greater reward of loving your enemies than loving someone that you know and you care about. That takes big obedience. Obedience is not easy. But the fact of the matter is that it's going to take obedience to rebuild your life. The reason why it does is because it's ordained by the Lord. God uses obedience for us to be restored. And tonight, God is ready to rebuild your life, regardless of how broken you might feel. When you commit yourself to a lifestyle of obedience, God is able to restore what the enemy has damaged and make you into who He's called you to be. Here's another thing. I feel a big relief when I do the right thing. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I do the right thing, I feel a lot of peace. I don't agree with it at first. And sometimes I still don't agree with it. But I feel a lot of peace and a lot of joy when I decide to do the right thing. See, we've lost the passion of doing the right thing. We've lost the power of doing the right thing. Because here's what's funny. A lot of people in society think what they want to do and they think it's right. The fact of the matter is that a lot of people think of what they do is right. It derails them into a path so dark that nobody else can even see them right. Because they're in such darkness. Because they want to do what they want to do. The Bible doesn't call us to do what we want to do. It calls us to follow the Lord because He is the portion of our life. He is the great vine that we need to be attached to, that we need to grip on, that we need to stay in love with and in relationship with. That is going to keep us at a peace. Doing the right thing is not, you shouldn't do the right thing because you're scared of what God's going to do or say. You should do the right thing because it brings joy in your life. It brings peace in your life. Justice is a great satisfaction, because when you do the right thing, justice is served in your life. Doing the right thing means, because here's the thing, here's what it takes: integrity, humility. I don't like that either. I don't like that. I don't care for it. Because sometimes I genuinely want to do what I want to do. Why? Because I'm a 25-year-old, bruh. I'm an adult now. Nobody can tell me what to do. That's great. But the funny thing is that God is not like just a parent. He's Lord. He's King. He's letting you decide what you want to do with your life. So if you feel remorse but yet go do it again, that's your decision. God gave you a free will. God gave you the ability to choose. So if you want to reject Him and sin, He respects you enough to make that decision. Yes, He does not like it because He is nowhere near sin. God hates sin. It's wrong. It's evil. It's not pure. He doesn't like that. But if you decide to do that, He lets you. You're not a computer program that God created in His little video game. That's not what He does. That's not who He is. He formed you with a mind and a will and an emotion to make decisions on your own. At the same time, He wants you to let Him guide you as well, because He is the great compass. So when you learn to repent, but yet at the same time after that obey, obedience brings a great joy and peace in your life, and God's able to restore. God cannot restore. Listen, lost people, why are lost people not restored? Because they don't know who God is. They don't care who God is. So they're going to be disobedient. They don't care. They don't give a rip about God. But if you do, if you've come to church, if you've come to youth to hear from the Lord, to seek God, obedience should be a passion of yours. I'm not saying you're going to get everything right. Listen to me. You are not perfect. You are not God. But what you are is a child willing to let go of sin and to be free in Him so that your life can be rebuilt. Here's the application. How do you apply this? It's very simple. Do the right thing when God tells you to. Do the right thing when God tells you to. Even when everybody else is doing the wrong thing, you have the power to do the right thing. You have every opportunity to do the right thing. I'm telling you, if you doing the right thing loses your acceptance of people, that's great. Why? Because those aren't the right people. Those aren't the right people in your life. If you're having to make the right decision and they're going in the wrong decision, they're like, we don't hang out with you because you don't get us. Okay? Because I want to do the right thing? I don't get you? I want to make sure that I have a peace in my life where I am complete with Christ? Sorry. I would rather do the right thing and be rejected than do the right thing and be accepted by man and not by the Lord. I would rather be accepted by Him, because He is not just my ticket to heaven. He's not just my genie in a bottle, but He is a greater relationship than anyone I'll ever encounter. God wants to rebuild your life, and the only way He can rebuild your life is for you to do the right thing. He is asking you, God is saying, if you want me to rebuild these things in your life, if you want me to redeem you, I am willing to. I just want you to obey me. I have things for you in your life to flourish you, not just to be successful, but to live a righteous lifestyle. Obey me. You shouldn't obey someone out of fear. You should obey someone because you respect and love them. Some of us won't admit it. Some of us won't say, I love my sibling. Some people won't say that for some reason, because there's beef with the sibs. For example, she's here. If Anna needed something, yeah, I'm going to help her out. if she needed something, if she was asking me to do something, like, hey, Jacob, can you get me a Dasani? All right, I'll go grab it from the fridge. We don't have Dasani. I don't think we've ever had Dasani. But I think we had Great Value water. That's what we had. Yeah. Those big cases. Costco water. Yeah. So if she needed a water, she's like, hey, can you get me a water? If I don't, I'm not getting it because I'm afraid of my life because Anna's like, like with a knife. Like, no, she's not that crazy. No. If that was the case, then I wouldn't obey. If that was the case, then I wouldn't. But because I care about Anna enough as my sibling, love her enough, and respect her enough, I'm going to get her a water. I'm going to get her Great Value water from Costco. That's what I'm going to do. The funny thing is that we think obedience to God is out of fear. Like we're afraid of what God's going to do. Listen, God has done nothing to you to show you that he'll strike you with lightning if you don't obey him. He wants you to obey him because you love and respect him. You love and respect God because you want to follow him and you want to see him in your life because he is the fountain. He is the water. He is the bread. You need him. And the only way that you can obey him authentically is if you genuinely love him and respect him. That's the only way you obey God. You can't obey God out of fear because that's not the God we serve. How can we serve a Christ who loved us enough to die, then we fear to obey him? That makes no sense. We have to obey him out of a love that we care about the Lord. We respect the Lord. Like Andre was saying in worship, we are born, we are created to sit at his feet. So if I'm created to sit at the feet of Jesus, to spend time in his presence, and I get to spend time with him, I would want to do nothing more than obey him. I want to obey him. Why? Because I've spent time with him. Because I know him. Because he knows me. That's why I want to obey him. Not because of reading a chapter where it just says, I command you to, out of fear. I obey him because I care about God. I love him and he loves me. That's how you live in obedience. Because maybe the wall's rebuilt in your life, but you need to just be obedient because you care about God. Because you don't want to hurt his heart when you sin. That you don't want to break that bond with the Lord. Like I said, if I lashed out at my wife and I ask for forgiveness and we move on, it doesn't end the marriage. It continues to move on. You sinning or you committing a sin does not shatter you completely. It does not separate you from God all the way like that. He's wanting you to walk back up to him, to ask for forgiveness, and to receive his forgiveness so that he can love you even more. The way that the walls rebuilt in your life is to obey. Some things you don't agree with, like I said, you don't obey God. You don't obey the hard stuff because you're scared of what he'll do. There's a lot of stuff that I will do for the people that I care about, even though I might not like it. I might not care for it. I'm still going to do it because I love and respect this person. It's the same thing with God. I obey him because I love him and he loves me. It's a relationship. If you can get that into check, he's willing to rebuild the walls in your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as we close tonight, the powerful principle for tonight is that you have to let God rebuild that wall by obeying what he says. It's not about the do's and don'ts. Actually, it's not just about don't do this and don't do that. Oh, don't do this, don't do that. It's about what you should be doing. What is that? loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in that other command, love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving others is the biggest do. Is the biggest thing that you should be doing. I've told people this before because some people have asked me, how do I stop sinning? How do I stop sinning in my life? I told them, don't keep a record. Don't say, I've gone this many days without this sin. You're creating a standard and a picture that God never made. What you should be doing is pursuing Christ, loving, putting your faith in Christ, and loving others as He would want you or how you would want to be loved and treated. That's what God wants you to do, but we don't do it. Why? Because sometimes we struggle with guilt that God doesn't like us at the moment, and we don't love others the way that we want to be loved because either we're not in the mood to do it, or maybe this person hurt us and we can't even love them properly. I want to challenge you to love God and love others. Do take those chances of the heart obediences and do them. Why? Because you'll have more peace in your life. You will feel, because the funny thing is that when God says to love our enemies, to forgive those who persecute us, who have wronged us, is because there's a freeing factor to it. Why? Because Jesus did this. He's just telling us what He does. We're only doing what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He died for you, knowing that you would either reject Him, mock Him, or hurt Him with your words, with your actions. He knew, and He still died. He's calling us to do the same thing for other people. To love people who have wronged us, to care for those who we might not like. Obedience builds that wall of Jerusalem in your life. So as we pray, I just want you to just bow your head, close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's talking to anyone. What I need you to do, if you're able, is I want you to just personally ask the Lord, Lord, I am sick and tired of not letting the wall of Jerusalem in my life be built. I am tired of seeing sin run rampant in my life. I need you. I need your help. I do not want to do these things anymore. I want to obey you, not because I'm afraid of you, but because I care about what you care about. I hate the things that you hate. Ask the Lord right now for His desires. Lord, I want your desires. Lord, I cast my desires to you and I take yours, Lord. Lord, whatever you desire, I'll desire. Whatever you are passionate about, Lord, I want to be passionate about. Because what you want and what you desire and what you are doing is a lot greater than what I want and what I'm doing. So just ask the Lord, Father, I just want your desires so that I can obey you. I cannot obey if I don't know the desires of your heart. So, Father, I just pray that you would show us, Lord, give us a revelation of the desires of your heart so that we can do them and we can obey them. Not out of fear or pressure or intimidation, Lord, out of love, out of care, because we care about doing what you want to do. Because you are God. You are the Lord Jesus. If you died and rose again for my sins, if all I can do is obey you, Lord, I will do so. It is what you want. And Father, Father, we know that as we continue to obey you, just like Nehemiah did, Lord, that the walls would be rebuilt in our lives, that our lives would be put back together because you are working through it. We just thank you, Lord, that you're rebuilding the walls in this moment, Lord, as we continue to walk and live in obedience to you. And we just thank you. Everything that you're doing in our life is for a purpose, and that you are amazing in who you are and what you do. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name.